Good morning. Good morning. Well, amen. I tell you what, we are blessed with a great little worship team, and everyone's just so fantastic, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of them. But you know what? I'm also thankful for you, all of you. What a blessing, you know, as we finish up the Thanksgiving weekend to be able to look out and see all of you here. Now we've got several that are missing for work or for travel or whatever the case may be, or sitting at home with family. But I'm glad you're here today, and I'm thankful for every one of you and those that are not here today. And what a blessing it is to have such a wonderful church familia, as you always hear me say. So amen for that, right? So I'm glad to have you guys here. But before we get started into God's Word this morning, let's just pray. Can we do that? I might pray a couple times throughout this sermon this morning, but I just want to get our hearts and minds aligned with the Word and what God wants us to hear this morning. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, with humble hearts, and we're asking you, Lord, to move in our midst. Lord, make this Word real to us that we're about to hear. May we apply it. It's wonderful, Lord, to hear your Word, but it does us no good, Lord, if we do not put it into action. And so this morning, I pray, Lord God, that first and foremost, I would get out of the way and that you would use me, Lord, as you see fit, that I would simply be your vessel, and Lord, that my words would be your words, and that I would become less, Lord, so that in this place this morning you become more. We ask you to have your way, Lord. We ask every person to be attentive to your word, Lord, and may it affect them, Lord God, in a positive way. I pray for right provocation. And we pray that in Jesus' name, when we all agreed and said, amen and amen. Well, you know, it's Christmas time. And every year, you know, when we get to this point, the worship team's like, can't wait to do Christmas music. And I'm like, okay. I'm not thrilled about it all the time, but you know, it's not that bad, is it? I heard you guys actually sing for a change. Wow, I was like, wow, this is great, man. And so I think that's fantastic. And so with Christmas music means that we are starting our Christmas series. And as we begin a new series this year, we want to kick it off just a little differently than we usually do, if that's okay with you all. You know, usually we start off with breaking down the Christmas story. We talk about Mary and Joseph, the angel, baby Jesus, and all the events that follow that. And we're going to get to that. I promise we will. But we want to do things just a little bit differently this morning. What we want to look at as we open up this Christmas series this morning is we want to look at Christmas and the promises, or rather all the promises that come with it. Although today we're going to focus just on three as we look at one specific scripture that leads to the New Testament. It's an Old Testament prophecy about Jesus that I think is so applicable to us today. And dealing with that and speaking of promises, we're going to talk about promises. And promises, promises, promises. We've all have heard of people that make a lot of promises, and some of them are actually kept. Anybody? Can you relate with that? But when it comes to God, and I think this is what's important, he always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. It's not always going to be the way that we want or in the timing that we think, but you know what? God is still going to answer his promises. Now, you notice something I just said there. It says his promises. He has made promises to us. Sometimes we kind of throw out things to God and we don't get the answer. And we're like, God, you didn't answer that. Well, that wasn't a promise. That was a request. There's a big difference. But his promises, he will always fulfill. Amen? He will always fulfill them. And the interesting thing about God's promises is that sometimes promises that we see from God are going to be kept in multiple ways, in numerous ways. Sometimes they're kept in the very near future. Sometimes they're kept in the distant future. Sometimes they're kept in the very distant future, right? At least that's the way we look at it sometimes, right? And sometimes God's promises from the Old Testament, they were fulfilled in physical ways to his people Israel, right? But they're fulfilled in even more profound and eternal ways to all of us when we fast forward to where we are now. And that's the case with Jesus. You know, if we look really closely, if we study God, we study the Old Testament, we're going to see that the major framework of the biblical narrative consists of covenants God made with his people, right? We look at the covenant that was made with Noah, the covenant that was made with Abraham. We look at the covenant that was made with David. We look at the old covenant. We even get a glimpse of the new covenant in the Old Testament, and then we come into the New Testament. And what we realize when we look at the Bible, my friends, is that the Old Testament was a 2,000-year era of God entering into covenant with men and women, and here's the key, who would probably go without ever seeing the fulfillment of those covenants in their lifetime. But then, one day, people received a startling visit or visitations from angels announcing that just at the right time, God was now about to act and bring his covenant promises to fulfillment. And this is really what the birth of Jesus is all about. You know, we get caught up in the hype and we think of the manger scene and we have our nativity sets at home and we put up our Christmas trees and we get the gifts and we go all commercial. But this is what Christmas is all about. It's the fulfilling of God's covenant promises to his people. Another important aspect of God's promise is that, and this is a good one, that sometimes one promise is going to lead to many other promises or more promises. That's just the truth when it comes to Jesus. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because we see one promise was a fulfillment of all these other promises. The promised Messiah came, and as a result, we see all these other promises that are coming to pass. Amen? And almost everyone in America, I understand that Christmas is related to the birth of Jesus, but most people don't understand the reason and significance of Jesus' birth. His coming leads us to more of Christmas promises from God to us. Some of those promises, they're found in Micah chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. So if you have your Bibles, you can go and jump into the book of Micah chapter 5. We see a prophecy of the coming Messiah, and it lays some promises out for us as well that we will see come to pass as a result of Jesus. I'll give you just a moment to get there. Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Old Testament. And verse 1, it says this, "Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. Therefore he shall give them until the time of when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel." Here it comes. "And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be their peace." So we get a picture that Israel is under attack, and God is promising to restore her. That's what we call a near promise. It's right here. It's in front of us. It's going to happen. But the promise to us, thousands of years later, is the promise of the Messiah. And this actually leads to even more promises. That's good news for us, isn't it? See, Charlie's got really big ears, guys. This thing doesn't want to stay on me. There we go. Just playing, Charlie.
Size, average
ears. Yeah. Dumbo. Anyway, I'm kidding. We can play with each other. Hey, all right. Well, let's talk about Micah now. Let's get back to the Bible. So what we see in Micah is a foreshadowing. We see a foreshadowing for in it we see that God is speaking specifically of Jesus. This is good news. He's speaking of Jesus. Look what it, verse 2, just glance at that. I'll give you kind of synopsis of what it says. He's going to come from one of the smallest towns among all the clans, among one of the smallest tribes of all of Israel. He comes from Bethlehem. He's not raised up in some sort of kinship. He will not enter into the scene with all this fame and pomp. From humble beginnings, God is going to raise a ruler from among this clan. Now, that doesn't mean that he's unqualified, because it's very clear what the Bible says right here. If we look at that scripture, it says he is coming forth from what? Of old, Ancient of Days. And you know what that tells me is that Jesus has been here all along. He's been here all along. He was there at the very beginning. And so this is not someone who's just popping up into the scene with no history. He's got a lot of history. And so what I want us to focus on this morning are the promises of a Savior, the promise that Jesus is the Messiah. And what that means for you and for me is that God gives us even more specific promises that are laid out for us right there in Micah that I think are just wonderful news for us today if we would just receive them. There are a lot of Christmas promises that are from God to you. A lot. And God always delivers on what he promises. These promises are so significant. There's many, but I'm going to lay out three for us today that we see in the book of Micah. Now, why are these promises big? Why are they important? Because these promises provide for us, listen to me this morning, what we can't provide for ourselves. That's good. They provide for us what we can't provide for ourselves, and specifically in an eternal way. God is so good. When you think about it, all of this was planned before the beginning of time. God had you in mind before the beginning of time. That's awesome, isn't it? And that leads us to the very first promise I want to share with you this morning that's found in the book of Micah. Here it is. Number one, Jesus will be our shepherd. You know, a shepherd is a leader of sheep. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about this as I was writing this out. This is just a perfect follow-up to last week's sermon because Charlie made a lot of references to shepherds and sheep, if you recall, right? Jesus is our great shepherd. He protects, he leads, he provides nourishment, spiritual food, sometimes even physical. He meets our physical needs. He teaches, he guides. And one of the marks of the times that we live in today is, and if you guys don't realize this, if you don't have kids yet, you may not get this, or maybe they're young enough, or maybe you're already seeing it, is that there's this deep-seated sense of self-dependence and self-reliance in the world that we live in today. How many of you have seen that, right? I can do it. It's me. Not everyone wants to be led, right? Or so they think. That is until... Until, right? There's always an until. Until we're brought to our limit. Until we're overwhelmed with life. Until we get ourselves into some serious trouble. And eventually, I got news for you. This is going to happen to all of us. It's going to happen to every single one of us. I want to break that down, but let's talk about sheep. But before we do, let's watch this video to get an idea of the problem with sheep, which is the same problem that we have. Because the same thing that you're going to see in this video is true of us. Go ahead, Charlie, whenever you're ready, my friend. He's going to get the sheep out. You got him out. He's free. Go, my friend. Be free and... Do it again. That's it. That's what sheep do. And you know what? That's what we do too, right? That's exactly what... You hear that screaming? That's bleeding. That's the sheep bleeding as he's falling back into despair. Oh, my goodness. Andrew Bonner, he tells about how in the highlands of Scotland, sheep would often wander off. They disappear into the rocks. They get into places that they could just not get out of. And you know why they did that is because in the highlands of Scotland, the grass there is very sweet. It tastes great. The sheep love it. They love it. And so they'll jump 10, 12 feet down off of a little... hilltop into kind of a ravine to eat that grass, but then they find that they can't get out. And so they'll start bleeding out in distress, that sound that you just heard, like, help, help, help. And so what the shepherd will do is he will wait till that sheep has eaten all the grass and it's gone 3 or 4 days later. And now that sheep is hungry and he's so weary and so tired that he's about to faint. He can't even stand. Then the shepherd will put a rope around himself. He'll climb down. He'll put a rope around that sheep and drag him back up to safety. And people go, well, why do you wait till he's fainting and he's falling over and he can't stand any longer to go get him? Because this is what he'll say to you. He'll say, well, the reason I don't do that is because sheep are foolish. And as soon as I save him, if he still has strength, he'll dash right over the precipice to his death. So I've got to wait until he gives up. And my friends, that's the way it is with us. That's the way it is with us. We won't go back to God until we have no friends, until our family says, I am done with you. I've done all I can do. The door is closed. I mean, I've given you chance after chance after chance. We are done. We won't go back to God until we have lost everything. And my friends, if you are a wanderer, the good shepherd Jesus, he will bring you back the moment that you stop trying, you ready for this? To lead yourself. The moment that you stop trying to save yourself. It's in that moment when you're willing to now be led that he will save you his own way. And so Jesus will be our good shepherd. He will be God with us. And so the next promise that we find in Micah is what I think so many of us desire in this life. We want this so badly, but without Jesus, I got news for you, we will never find it. And here's the promise. We shall dwell secure. That's the second promise that we see in Micah. We shall dwell secure. Verse 4 says this, they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the end of the earth. You know, that promise of security, I don't know about you, but it really hits home with me, okay? It gets me thinking about how often we feel insecure, right? How often do you feel insecure? Don't answer that out loud. Just think about it, okay? How often does fear paralyze you, right? So many of us, think about it. We deal with all sorts of levels of insecurity at any given moment. It's so hard to imagine a time of life where we just feel so completely secure all the time. I can't think of one. You know, as a pastor, church planner, you know, when you go down this road, Charlie, he'll back me up on this. There are nights you lay your head on the pillow, you go, this is it. Tomorrow it could all blow up. It's over. You know, you feel that. Steve, you know what I'm talking about, right? Tomorrow could be the day. You know, a few years back, I actually shared this before with you guys, I think maybe a year or two ago. The Huffington Post ran an article about fear. It highlighted a series of comics that depicted the common fears that children have alongside of very similar fears that adults have. It was titled Childhood Fears versus Adult Fears. And what the cartoon did was it illustrated the following pairs. Here's number one, childhood fear, doctors, adult fear, Dr. Bills. Yeah. Second one, childhood fears, bad dreams, adults, unfulfilled dreams. Right? Here's another one that they gave. Childhood fears was strangers. Adult fear was dealing with crippling social anxiety. That's true too, isn't it? Freeze in the room. And another fear that they gave was childhood fear, clowns, adult fear, clowns. Little levity there. Some adults are scared of clowns, I will say that. I've experienced that with some. But really, you know, truly, when we get back to the point of this article, it points out that though the fears of children are often discounted by us, the older, wiser people, as irrational or silly, the truth is, at the end of the day, that they're not far from our own fears, are they? In fact, the article said this, and I quote, they're proof that no matter how old we get, we're never alone in our fears. In the end, there's this line of logic. There's this line of logic that explains why most common fears among adults are often similar to those of kids. And you know what that is? Is that everyone has a fear of the unknown. Every single one of us, we have a fear of the unknown. There's always going to be uncertainty about jobs. There's always going to be uncertainty potentially about finances, about relationships. Are they mad at me? Are they upset at me? You know, the worst thing that you could do to Charlie or I or Clark or another pastor is call and say, hey, I need to talk to you. Can we meet? Right? I'm like, let's just get it over with. It's the worst thing you do. So hint, don't do that to us, okay? There's also fear of uncertainty of health. We're all worried about our health, right? You know, right now I've got family members that are in the hospital with unknown illnesses, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And the funny thing is they're young. You know someone. I've got another pastor who got an unknown fever or something. You know about him, Nathan, and has been in the hospital ever since. I think it's been 4 or 5 weeks now. We thought he was going to die, but God, in his goodness, took care of him. There are a number of all these sort of daily concerns that can come over us or any person that could even just paralyze the most spirited of people in any given moment. This is why so many people can't live out Matthew chapter 6 in their lives, because of fear, because of worry, because of anxiety, because of insecurity. And when we live in fear, worry, anxiety, and insecurity, you know what that does? Got everybody's attention? You know what it reveals about you and me? It reveals that we have yet to experience the Christ of Christmas. We've yet to experience the promises that God has given us in Christ. That's why so many Americans, while they know that Christmas is related to Christmas, they don't understand the importance and the significance of it. And so the question for us to ask is there a way to avoid the downward spiral that fear, worry, anxiety, and insecurity bring? I'm glad you asked. You know, in a world as chaotic as the one that we live in, here's truth. You can't replace uncertainty with certainty. You just can't. The sad reality is you're going to try and try and try and try until you finally just go, I give up. I can't do it. And you know what that is? That's life without Christ. That's life without Christ. And that's not cruel on God's part. I just got to say this. That's not cruel on God's part. It's simply the reality that we were created by God in his image. We were created to have fellowship and relationship with him. And that hole in your life that you can't fill was meant to be filled by him. See, because when we're not satisfied in life, when we're insecure, worry, fear, anxiety, that's revealing to you and to me, specifically to you, that something's missing in your life. Something is missing because God is your security. God is the one who can satisfy only. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Look what it says. It says, for by him, say it with me, all, oh, that was weak. Let's say it. All things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Say it again. All things were created through him and for him. And here, listen to this. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see? So if we were to stop and think about the things that threaten our sense of security, we would think maybe about, we're worried about our health. We're worried about financial ruin. We're worried about, if you have kids or grandchildren, you're worried about, will they get hurt? Are they safe? Maybe you're worried about their outcome. Will they be okay? Will they grow up to be good people? Maybe you're worried about disease. Maybe you're worried about, if you look around the room, man, how do these people think about me? How do they perceive me? It could be any sorts of things. All these things. But it's a fact that when we believe any of these things, they can take us to the point where we think that if one of them falls apart, our world is going to fall apart. And that's just not true, is it? But I want you to listen to that promise of God at Christmas. I said earlier, they shall, what? Dwell secure. They shall dwell secure. And I want you to notice the reason why they will dwell secure. It says, he, everybody point up, he shall be great to the ends of the earth. He shall be great. It's because of Jesus. That's the promise of Christmas. That's the good news. It's his reputation. It's his influence that will ever expand. And in the end, this is good news for all of us. Every person, all, everyone will recognize him for who he really is. Even those people who are detractors, those people who are out there making fun of him right now. One day, the Bible tells us that God is going to exalt him above everyone else and bestow on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee, everybody, should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess in their own language that Jesus Christ is Lord. And why? To the glory of God the Father. So for those of us that believe by faith in Jesus, we shall dwell secure. What a promise. What a promise. No fear. We should have no fear. We should have no anxiety. We should have no worry. We should have no insecurity. We shall dwell secure. If you've experienced Jesus, then that's a promise for you. No fear of your ultimate end as well. Listen, this is a promise for you and for me that has immediate and eternal implications or application, whatever you want to say. Even though the difficulties of life right now can be hard, they can be painful, they can be scary, we struggle. If you are found in Christ, listen to me this morning, then you don't put your trust in circumstances, you put your trust in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the promise. If you're found in Christ, you will never be undone. He will keep you, and you shall dwell secure. You know, when it comes to the scariest unknown of all of them, which for us is probably death, right? Some it's taxes, all right? But death, if you're found in Christ, he will keep you and you will be secure. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. We can always go back to the Bible. It will back itself up over and over again. The Bible doesn't do this. It does this. It builds on itself. It affirms itself. Well, look at what it says. We know the scripture so well. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have eternal life. Look at John 17:3. It says, now this is eternal life, that they know him, the one only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And this one, I love this one, 1 Timothy 1:16. It says, but for that reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience and an example for those who would believe in him and receive, what? Eternal life. There are so many promises that are given about Jesus, but my goodness, this is powerful, isn't it? He is our good shepherd. We shall dwell secure because he came. That was the first promise, and because he came, we know that the others will be fulfilled. Whew. I haven't preached in a couple weeks, you can tell. This morning, I want to give you the final promise that we see in Micah. There are more, but I want to give you the final promise that we see in Micah chapter 5. This is one I know that's very significant, one that I know we need for our lives. And look what it says. He shall be our peace. You know, in the world that we live in, we need peace. And you're not going to find it in who's sitting in the White House or what's happening around the world and everything's looking good. Because the Bible is very clear. It says it's going to get worse before it gets better. So if you're not finding your peace in Jesus, you're in trouble. Because the Bible's clear, it says, he, Jesus, shall be our peace. Verse 5 plainly says, it says this. It points us to a political peace. It even points to a peace between nations. Yeah, I know that's hard to believe, but it's going to happen, right? It even points us to a peace with God, a peace that we have with God. I want you to think about it. For you to be able to go about your days, listen, with this unshakable inner peace because you know you're standing before God himself. Man, that's peace right there. I am a child of God. Amen. And because I'm a child of God, I know my standing. It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. Another significant thing about Jesus is that day when you stand before the Lord in the great throne, white throne judgment, and he looks at you, and if he were to say, why do you think you should be able to go into heaven? You might start to think, well, you know, that's a good person. You might start thinking, well, I preached, I taught. You know, if I were standing, I might think about all the things I've done. And it doesn't matter. You know what matters is the one who's sitting at his right hand. I say it's because of him. It's because of him. That's the promise of Christmas. He shall be our peace. He shall be our peace. I don't know about you, but that's why we need the gospel. That's why we need to understand the significance of Christmas. It's not about presents. It's not about a tree. It's not even about the nativity scene. It's about Jesus coming. The world needed him to come, period. That's why he came at just the right time. We can't have peace without God. God with us. We can't have peace without forgiveness of sins, which Jesus brings. But God provides for us all of those things in the person of Jesus, the promised Savior. What he does is for us, he ushers in the promise of God for us at Christmas. You know what? He offers to take your sins. Amen. Even more than that, he offers to cleanse you, to lead you, to free you, to give you peace. And all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. There's no magic prayer. You can talk directly to God. You don't need me. You don't need Charlie. That's why he's given us access through Jesus. And so all we have to do is ask, and then we have to trust him to keep us from sin. In Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, it says this, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. We can have peace with God. We can have peace in this life. No matter what's happened, no matter what's going to happen, we can have peace in this life. We will have peace for eternity through his promises. And that's the promise. That's the promise that Jesus will be our peace. You know, I think sometimes it's very hard for me to believe that I am as old as I am. And I think about the last 30 years of my adult life, and I think about where I started and where I am today, and how when I was younger, what's going to happen? Am I going to get the right job? Am I going to make enough money? Am I going to be able to afford kids? Am I going to be this, that? We all worry about those things, you know? And it was through the valley of life, I learned that I could trust God. I learned that these promises are true. He is a good shepherd. He led me out. And he'll do it again. I've been able to dwell secure because of Christ, and I have found my peace in him. And because He has provoked me rightly toward that. I trust him. You know, if you know me well enough, you know my life verse is Hebrews 11:6. It means so much to me. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he is, and here it is, this is the best part, and that he rewards those who seek after him. We can experience that peace when we experience the Christ of Christmas, the Christ that came to fulfill everything that God said he would do for us. I want to close with this. For the insecure, Jesus provides security. For the warring, Jesus provides peace. For the wandering, Jesus is the good shepherd. God meets our needs through Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, God promised his people an eternal, everlasting kingdom that would endure for all the ages. This kingdom would reign over the house of Judah forever. And what the Bible tells us, it would enfold all the families of the earth. How do we know that? Because Revelation 5 says it. It says all the peoples and the tongues and the tribes and the nations. And when the angel came to Mary, he made it plain that Jesus' birth would be the fulfillment of this magnificent promise for us. Jesus was born to fulfill God's promises. That's the significance of Christmas. That's the importance of Christmas, not Santa Claus. And these three promises, well, they include every promise that God has made to his people. The beauty of the gospel, as we see the New Testament unfold, the beauty of the gospel is that because Jesus was faithful, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Because Jesus was faithful and receives all the promises of God, listen, everybody point to yourself, point to your neighbor, everyone who is connected to the Savior by faith receives those promises as well. That's the inheritance of God. That's awesome. That's just awesome. What do you think about this? When the Apostle Paul was despairing at life itself, and he had it hard there at the end, didn't he? He found comfort. He found comfort in God through Jesus Christ. That rock that he held onto in the middle of the storm, well, that was the promise of God that was made to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, he wrote this. He said, "For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are, yes." That's the promises of God. "And therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us." Paul, the Apostle Paul, could overcome, listen to me this morning, somebody needs to hear this, his depression because he found comfort in the fact that all God's promises belong to him because they all belong to Jesus, and he came. My friends, this morning, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He is the fulfillment of all God's promises. He's our hope. That's why Christmas is huge. That's why it's important. That's why it's significant. All God's promises are ours because all God's promises are his. And listen, and we through faith belong to him. And Jesus was born to fulfill the promises of God. And what I would say to you this morning is, may this truth be your anchor. May this truth be your anchor. Not only at Christmas, but all the time, every day, and every circumstance. This is why we worship him. Go ahead, you can start playing that. This is why we worship him. This is why we trust him. This is why we follow him. So what I want you to do right now is stand with us. I'm going to close in just a moment, but we're going to worship our Lord. We're going to thank him for the fulfillment of the promises that we have because Jesus came. Amen? Amen. We can sing that song with confidence, but if you can't, then today you can experience the promise of Christmas that's found in Jesus. You don't have to live in fear, worry, anxiety, and insecurity. Because Jesus came, that's past. There's no need for any of that. And so I implore you this morning. To experience the Christ of Christmas. For so many, if we were going to use the analogy of Christmas, he's the present that's left unopened under the tree. And I pray that every person would open that and experience the peace, the security, the Good Shepherd in their life. And I want you to have that this morning, and that's why we wanted it open this Christmas season with the promises, so that we go into it rightly, wide-eyed, saying, hey, you know what? He is my Good Shepherd. He is my security. He is my peace. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, you can experience that. And not just now, but from here until then, when we see him. So I want to pray with you this morning. Just everyone bow your heads. Again, not a magic prayer. I just want to pray with you. If you're needing that this morning in your life, I just want to pray with you. Just raise your hand. No one's looking. Just us. Yeah, say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to pray for you. And I want you to stop for just a moment. And all that stress, that worry, kick it out. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, hey, give him your stuff because he loves you. Give him your burdens, your worries, all of it. You can trust him. If God's promise of sending Jesus came true, then everything else that he promised will come to pass. You can trust him. So this morning, I want to pray with you, and let's pray together. This morning, I would just simply ask you, ask God. Just ask him. Lord, I need Jesus to be my good shepherd. I need him in my life so that I can dwell secure. I need Jesus to be my peace. And I promise you, God will not deny you. Just pray that prayer with me as I pray with you right now. Father, I pray for every person and specifically for those that have raised their hand this morning, Lord God, that, Lord, you would meet them where they are. You came just at the right time in history, that I know that in this moment, if we would just lean in you and say, Lord, I need you, you'll come again to where we are into their heart, and you will be their shepherd, their good shepherd. You will be their security, and you, Lord, shall be their peace. And I pray this morning that you would do that, that we're willing to humbly ask and trust you. Do that in someone's life now, Lord, through this simple message of the promise of Christmas. Every promise was given to Jesus. And Jesus is ours, then those promises are ours as well by faith. And so this morning, make that reality, Lord, for someone in this room so that they would walk out of this place a new person. Change them, I pray, as only you can, as you surround them, Lord, with your peace, your security, your guidance this Christmas season and for every day ahead. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen and amen.